How secure do you feel when you're online at home? New research reveals that 4 in 5 people worry regularly about the security of their data and protecting their personal information. And this isn't just because of media scaremongering. 1 in 5 say that their in-home devices have already been hacked. Now, the proliferation of smart devices and technology, along with a lack of security protocols for manufacturers, is leaving us exposed to cyber attacks in our own homes. Now, are we at risk of being spied on in our own homes? Well, I'm joined now by Dr. Mike Lloyd, a cybersecurity expert and CTO at Redseal. Hello, Dr. Lloyd.
Hello, good to talk to you.
Now, we hear about another hacking story just about every other day, don't we?
Absolutely. There's a drumbeat of this stuff continuously.
Now, taking it back to our homes, and bearing in mind that a lot of our audience are really, they're vision impaired, so are really found that the modern smart devices and the, you know, being able to speak to them and make them operate is fantastic. How vulnerable are we to being spied on?
Yeah, it's a real challenge because this technology is being widely adopted, not just by the vision impaired. Our survey showed that the majority of people now have at least one, maybe several smart devices in their home, from smart TVs, smart speakers, and all these kinds of things. And of course, for many of these people, they just find being able to speak to their computers is convenient. But that convenience seems to come at a price. It's very clear that some of these devices actually compromise our privacy even when they're working correctly, let alone when they've been hacked. They're designed as surveillance devices, and we're buying them voluntarily because, well, we get some useful features out of that. But we appear to be outstripping our ability to ensure safety, and our figures showed that people are aware of this, that more than half the people we talked to had avoided some smart device purchase or delayed it because they couldn't be confident that the device was secure. And there's been some quite good reporting in the last week or so about the Google in-home devices recording random bits of audio that were being reviewed by people, meaning it's not just software out there that's listening to you and then trying to respond to whatever your question was. For tuning the algorithm and making sure the voice recognition works, they have people listening to the audio. And some of this audio was leaked, and it turned out it didn't even have the trigger phrase for turning the device on. So it was just capturing random audio in somebody's home. So I'm afraid if the question is, are these devices really spying on us? Yes, we already know that they are, but we're making a deal because we find some advantages in getting these devices to do what they do.
It sounds quite sinister.
Yeah, it's a complicated trade that we're making, right? We clearly gain something, right? It's useful to be able to just speak and have a computer respond, and so there are upsides to that. But the downsides are that we are also getting savvier and savvier about the way we're being tracked, right? People are noticing that you get more and more advertisements that are related to some search you did on a different computer on a different day or a conversation you had with a friend, and somehow that friend's internet search is now influencing the content that you see when you surf the internet. So it's clear the machines out there are getting smarter and smarter. Whether you call it sinister is a matter of interpretation, because there's a wide spectrum here from things that could be helpful to us, like more intelligent serving of results, through to unfair or compromising practices. We've seen some evidence of things like price variation, where people end up charged different prices from the same website because the website's been able to profile who's more likely to pay more. And I think everybody agrees that's unfair, that's abusive. But how do you stop it? And this is why we emphasize in the research that people are aware of this problem, but the next stage is to have some governmental regulation step in and set ground rules about how people can operate.
So what kind of ground rules are we looking for then?
Well, if you think about what we've done with fire safety, right? Fire is a very scary business. Politicians are not expert in fire control, and neither are consumers. But we found it very helpful, if you're going to go down the high street and buy a toaster, to have baselines in place that say, look, you must follow these manufacturing standards before we'll allow those things to be on sale to the public, so that when we make our buying decisions, we can focus on the stuff we're good at, looking at price, looking at features. And this is the way it should be with smart devices, but we haven't yet caught up. We haven't yet got the equivalent of building codes for fire safety for these security devices. That would cover two aspects. One of them is just shoddy manufacturer, where the device has no security controls at all, because unfortunately we do see things like that, where devices are just shipped with pre-supplied vendor passwords and really crazy weaknesses, and we need that sort of stuff banned. But you also need to enforce business practices about what people can do with the data. Just because we've seen things like the recent Facebook fine that's been reported again around the Cambridge Analytica scandal, $5 billion fine, because one company had some reasonable basis to gather some data, but they shared it with somebody else, and that person shared it with somebody seriously unscrupulous.
I think personally, I mean, I'm registered severely sight impaired, and I still use my peripheral on my computer to try and read things. But I find I miss a lot of these things. And these various protocols about, you know, what does Facebook know about me? What information do they hold on me? I tend to find these things a bit baffling. And you tend to go and trust, because sometimes you seem to have to dig so deep to get the information that you want. And then do you believe it when you get it?
Well, and this is why we're recommending a governmental response, right? It is very hard to dig into the details. I mean, I do it for a living, right? I'm a cybersecurity professional. I can tell you it's a deeply confusing rabbit hole, no matter how deep down it you go. Everything has another level of complexity to it. So don't feel unusual if you find it a bit baffling. But, you know, fire safety is not a simple topic either, and yet we've managed to get the experts in the insurance business around fire and the fire suppression engineers to agree on what qualifies as basic ground rules, and we've encoded those into law. And that seems to be what we need here, that we have to catch up with, you know, expertise in the industry, and you know, I'm not alone in trying to voice that side of things. But also the insurance side. It's interesting that there's been a rise in cyber insurance for businesses. And that's a healthy thing, actually. That's something that those of us with the long view inside the industry can see as healthy, because when the insurance business gets involved, they want to figure out the equivalent of a non-smoker's discount, right? They want to figure out what's good and what's bad online in financial terms. And that's really good for motivating businesses, right? They care about money. And so fines are good, but insurance is another good way of getting at the problem. And so we are seeing some of the forces converge, but the next step has to come from a groundswell of people lobbying their MPs about the concerns that we found everybody has when we did our survey.
And the manufacturers, are they on board with this, would you say?
It varies. You know, all the manufacturers are focused on a profit motive. And if we as consumers say we love convenience and we don't care at all about privacy, then they will respond to that by making devices that compromise our privacy more and more and more. They're quite sensitive to how we behave. So my best advice to people is be a skeptical shopper. That's the same way we've learned to be very skeptical about our email. That we know that people are trying to trick us in a lot of the email that we receive. We didn't used to think that, but we learned it the hard way. Well, we have to do the same thing with these smart devices. Ask questions about whether they have security features designed in, and that will help weed out the manufacturers who don't even try and try and cut corners. And stick to reputable manufacturers, people you've heard of, because a lot of these devices are being made at vast scale by nameless companies who are trying to shave every penny out of the production costs that they can. And if they can shave out a penny by removing some security features, they'll do it unless we, the consumers, insist that we want to see that security is being taken care of.
I mean, I think there was a story, am I right on this, a story to do with Apple and the Zoom? And people were able to sort of look into other people's computers with it. They've rushed to try and get a fix on that.
Yeah, that's right. I've tracked that story in detail because I happen to be a user of Apple products and of the Zoom web conferencing service. So yeah, the technique there was a well-crafted malicious web page. If you could get people, the same kind of thing, where if you can get people to click on a link in an email and go to your website, you could force them to join a meeting and force their camera to be on. So they'd have a video camera pointing at their face, and in whatever state of appearance or lack of it that they had, all of it just through clicking on a website. Now, that was very rapidly patched. They have now got an effective fix in place, but there were a scary 48 or 72 hours there where nobody could stop people being forced to have their cameras turned on their computers.
So if we're going to try and lobby our MP, what kind of things then should we be asking for?
Well, we want standard codes of practice. As I say, it really breaks down into two sides. We don't want devices with no security in them at all. And so that's the same way that we don't want a toaster that is just going to generate sparks as soon as you plug it in, right? So we understand for physical devices how to have good manufacturing standards. And a similar thing occurs here for online devices. But you also need to establish ground rules about what's acceptable for privacy and what isn't. Right. And GDPR over the last year or two has been doing a lot in this area, just trying to track individual privacy. But we still haven't quite resolved the question about what's acceptable tracking and what isn't. Because I think most of us are actually okay with the idea that I don't want inappropriate ads that make no sense to me, or I don't want to see content that is really of no relevance to me at all. We're willing to give up a little bit for that kind of tracking. But when the tracking is abused by, say, charging people different amounts or giving them unsafe or manipulative advice, that's really where the baseline standards can set in. So it's really two requests. We don't want badly made gear, and we don't want people to abuse the data that they're going to gather. You can't make it illegal to gather the data, because we clearly volunteer to have that data gathered when we buy these devices. But you can stop people abusing it.
Where can we get some more information on this?
So there's a couple of resources. You can certainly look at more of our research at redseal.net. We're part of a conversation in the industry that has this term digital resilience. So if you're interested in the whole area of cybersecurity, digital resilience is a new term inside the industry of people thinking through, you know, we don't appear to be succeeding at blocking every possible attack. Every time we seal another hole in the dike and another one springs open. And so digital resilience is the idea of we have to design systems that can withstand attack and can bounce back. If you just want some general advice on good behavior online, have a look at getsafeonline.org. They have some nice general advice.
It's a very interesting and slightly worrying topic, but it's been fascinating chatting. Dr. Mike Lloyd from Red Seal, thank you so much for your time and your advice.
Pleasure talking to you.